pardon me, missing that line in the scripture reading. I will admit that as I was reading Every Valley again, I was thinking of the Messiah. Do you know Handel's Messiah? The great oratorio at Christmas. One of my professors assigned us as homework to listen to the Messiah from the beginning to the end. And the reason for it is that it tells the entire story of the Bible from the beginning until the end. And it's a thing we're doing with the narrative lectionary as we go from one week to the next, to the next, to the next. And we've rushed all the way through the Old Testament, and we're almost done with the story of the Old Testament. There are many prophets, and there are many other little stories following this part of it. But we as Christians, of course, look at the narrative as beginning in creation and going into Isaiah. How many times did we hear the words of Isaiah this morning in the church service? Right? We heard it in the Gospel of Mark, quoted it directly. We heard it in the hymn, Comfort, Comfort, as we call it, O My People. The old version was Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. It's a powerful scripture. This is where we get into what we interpret as the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And it's one of the things that we do to make this scripture written in this context so long ago. It was in a context. There are people who were taken away from their homeland, who were brought out, forcibly removed from Jerusalem and into Babylon. And in Babylon, they found their own lives. They made their own lives. There were people there who said, there is more to being the people Israel than living in Israel. There are different things about keeping our identity here. We were forced out by conquerors. We were forced out into this alien land. But we are still who we are. We are still our people, and we still tell the story. So that was the context of Isaiah. Isaiah's messenger was the one saying, we can go back to Jerusalem now. We can be who we are in the place we were called to be and not in this alien place anymore. But as we look at it and say, there are other times when we are waiting. There are other times we find ourselves alienated from God and alienated from the stories we would like to tell. It is this message that there are messengers who are preparing the way for us, who are reminding us that just as what seemed to be an endless exile ended once, what then seemed to be an endless exile, much longer period of time that the Romans were in Jerusalem and the people before the Romans were corrupt in Jerusalem, there was hope in Jesus Christ. And it was a message that no matter where we see our alienation today, there is comfort that comes in the morning. It is that story we tell so often that our own tales do not begin in exile and do not end in exile, but they go through exile. They begin in creation and end in redemption, this great narrative of our history, but they go through exile as surely as they began in creation. This has been a hard few weeks for me. I was talking with my colleague in Ames, the Reverend Eileen Gebbie, at the beginning of the week. She had canceled a lunch we were going to have together for some car trouble. And I told her that for her penance, she needed to send me her sermon draft because I was struggling not to be a dour Puritan up here like my ancestors were. But it turns out that she also preaches off of the narrative lectionary. And as you may have gathered these past few weeks, Josiah had that glimpse of hope. But other than that, it's the Assyrians are conquering you. You're not worshiping right. You're going to be destroyed by God, or God will remove God's protection. Now we have this story. Okay, Jerusalem was destroyed and you're sent into exile. Now these powers are going to act upon you. And so we have that in the scripture. And then we have people barricading themselves in the Planned Parenthood. We have bombings in Paris. We have shootings in San Bernardino. And I say, how do we preach out of this pain? How do we reflect all that is going around us, all of the uncertainty that we feel, all of the sense of powerlessness that we feel? What can we do in these places? What can we do against this violence other than throw up our hands and pray and wait for the next one? Prayer is good. Prayer is a discipline. Prayer reminds us that God is there, reminds us too that every day begins and every day ends, and reminds us that in those days it is easy to forget the things that we believe. It is easy to forget the people in our lives that are important to us. It is easy to forget all of the people that we are called upon to help and to whom we are called to bring peace. And so prayer is good. But prayer is not alone. If there is a lesson in this story of the Old Testament, it is that God does not fix things alone. Throughout the Old Testament story we have read, God has spoken to prophets, God has spoken to kings, God has spoken to people, and has said, you must do things. You must help to bring peace. You must care for the widow and the orphan. You must create a world that is a country that is built on the love of God and the love of neighbor. You must remember to be humble before God, that you are not God, that you do have a limit to your power and may not oppress other people, but you must make changes in the world. This is what God has been saying over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament. That is the story, that we must pray, but we must change ourselves too. And so in today's scripture passage, we see someone who was called to preach into pain, to preach into powerlessness, to preach into darkness, and to say, it is bad where you are. It is not good in exile. You do not want to be there. But listen for the words. Listen for the words that are crying out all around you, for God is not silent even in the darkness. God is not silent even in hopelessness. God is not silent around us. Listen to the voices that say, make level the playing fields. There are ways to end violence. There are ways to reduce violence and death. Listen to the voices in the wilderness that say, exile can end. There is a promised land. There is relief on the horizon, for God is good. There are voices all around us saying there is hope in the world, saying there is hope for peace, and that hope, while it may come from God, acts through us all around us. Not everywhere in the world has a shooting every week the way we do. There is hope out there. There are people with messages that say, violence is not the answer. We tried that in the Old Testament. Israel tried to fight Babylon. Israel tried to oppress one another using the violence, building up bigger and bigger armies, but it turned out the violence just grew and grew and grew. But then they were in exile, and they dedicated themselves to living a life of peace there. They dedicated themselves to finding out what it meant to be a nation without a nation without arms, a nation without kings any longer. And it was in that context that God spoke to them again and said, listen to the voices. Raise your voice and shout. Raise it. Don't be afraid. Here is the Lord God coming with strength. In this time of Advent, where we contemplate our role in this world, remember that in the darkness of Roman occupation, God brought a messenger to us in the wake of John the Baptizer. God found that we could use some company on earth. And so God came with us in the form of a child without power, the form of an infant born in a manger. God came to be with us, a messenger of peace who could not bring arms, who stood there and said, "My love will conquer." And if you, like me, struggle in these weeks, remember that message. It was not force of arms that overcame them. It was love and peace and the hope of freedom for all our souls, now and forever. Amen.